Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainus Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 14 lines from the top of Daf Dalid. You will notice a slash mark following which Omar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omar of Yonasan appears. Now, this piece of Gemara opens up with an agadic section. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivne heading, a topic heading combined with a structural note. Diamonds appear. These introduce Shloisha Shishalu Shaloi Kahoigen. There are three examples of those who requested something, but their request was potentially injurious to the one putting in the request. It was a potential pitfall in the request, as the Gemara will illustrate in each one of the examples. So you see the three diamonds. Following it, lower on the page, you'll notice some dashed diamonds. In a sense, it's a continuation of the series. There are two more examples that are introduced by Rav Brachia, where the nation of Israel puts a request in, which is not accurate. In other words, the way the request was stated has in it a potential pitfall for the one requesting, as we will see. Rashi points out why this section of Gemara appears over here. It is because later on the Amid, Rav Brachia, and we've encircled his name because of this Rashi. In Gemara markings, we should point out from time to time, there are markings in the Gemara text that are there in order to help with the reading of the Rashi. And in this case, we've circled Rav Brachia because Rashi makes reference to him right now, right at the opening of this section of Gemara. And in that section, the issue of rain comes up. Rain, of course, has been the topic under discussion since the beginning of the Masechta. So the opening agadic section has that connection of questions that were not, as the Gemara says, shelo lo kahogen. Kogen means proper. They were improperly phrased questions or requests. And one of the examples involves the issue of rain, as we will see later. So now, with that introduction aside, we continue in the Gemara text. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omar Rav Yonasan. Shloisha shalu shaloi kahoigen. There are three that requested something, and their request was phrased improperly. And what do we mean by that? Because in their request, in the way they phrased their request, they posed themselves for a potential setback. L'shnayim hashivu kahoigen, l'echad hashivuhu shaloi kahoigen. Two of the three requesters were answered in positive terms, but the third, was not so. V'eluhain. First, we list off the three requesters. Eliezer Eved Avraham, as is seen in the Chumash in Sefer Bereishis, V'Shaul ben Kish, King Saul, V'Yiftach HaGiladi, a story from Sefer Shoftim. And the Gemara explains, Eliezer Eved Avraham, Dichtiv, where was his request? Well, Eliezer Avraham was sent on a mission to find a wife for Avraham's son, Yitzchak. And Eliezer said, and he said that the maiden, the young, the girl that will come and offer a drink to offer me water, without getting into the details of the story, he says that that girl will be the one that I will choose for Yitzchak. Yochel, now you can see there's a double underline on the side of the Gemara. You can see we've highlighted the double underline. It introduces the words Yochel and Heshivo, whereas the potential pitfall and the way the answer was, or the way the request was granted. So Yochel Afilu Chigeres Afilu Suma. It could be that the girl that will offer him, Eliezer, the water, she might be a chigeres, a lame girl, or a suma, a blind girl. And if that was a possible answer to his request. After all, he didn't limit who the nature of the girl, the physical state of the girl. All he said is the girl that will offer me water to drink, so I will take her for Yitzchak. What kind of girl? Well, according to his request, he left himself open for even a lame girl or a blind girl. Heshivo kahoygen. He was his request was granted in a positive sense. Vinizdamno loy Rivka, and the girl that he met up with that did in fact offer the drink was Rivka. Rivka, of course, was a girl that had all kinds of positive attributes. Shaul ben Kish, the second example, Dichtiv. This involves Shaul confronting the enemy, and he promised that the one who would defeat the enemy will be granted wealth, and not only that, but Shaul, the king, will give his daughter to the successful warrior. He will give him, Shaul will give the warrior his daughter, Shaul's daughter, in marriage. Now, so the pasuk says, "Dichtiv oyo ish asher yakenu yashrenu hamelech oisher gadol ves bitoy yitain loy yochel afilu eved afilu mamzer." The one who would defeat the enemy might be, in fact, a slave, or he might be a mamzer, someone who cannot marry into the Jewish people, and as such, Shaul was leaving himself open to a negative type husband for his daughter. Heshivo kohogen v'nizdamein lo David. Well, the Almighty granted Shaul's request by providing him with David. David was the successful warrior, and he was the one that won the prize, so to speak, the wealth and the hand of Shaul's daughter. Yiftach Hagiladi. Now here is example number 3, noting that here we have a statement that it was Shalom Kahoyen, and his wish was granted in the Shalom Kahogen in the negative fashion. Dichtiv, Yiftach, on his way to a battle, had made a promise that if he's successful, V'hoyo ha-yoytse asher yetse midalse besi, the pasuk goes on to say, the likrosi, and we have this on the side of the Gemara, Beshuvi b'shalom mibnei Amon. Yiftach was saying that the first one to come out of the door of my house upon my return from the battle, from the successful battle against Amon, v'hoya l'Hashem v'halisihu oila. So he's making a pledge that the first one out of his house will be offered as a sacrifice, an Ola sacrifice offering to the Almighty. So what's the first one exits his house upon his return? Yochel afilu davar tomei. It could be that even if it were an unacceptable type creature, a horse that would come out of his house, would davar tomei. Heshivo Shaloi Kahagan, and from Shamayim, from heaven, he was responded to in a negative way. Who came out of his house when he, upon his return from battle? Nizdam no loy bito, his daughter came out of his house. So if you take the scriptures literally, and there is quite a bit of discussion in the commentaries on that particular episode involving Yiftach, his pledge to offer the first one out of his house as an Ola, and his daughter was the one that came out of us. What actually happened over there? We'll leave that for you to investigate, to research further by looking into the commentaries there in Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Whatever the case is, if you take the storyline literally, so then it would he was put into a position where he would have to offer his daughter as a sacrifice, a human sacrifice. V'hainu deka'omar luhu novi liYisrael. Regarding this episode, the prophet Yirmiyahu, the Novi, says to Yisrael the following: Hatzori ein begilod im roifei ein shom. The tzori is a type of medicine. Is there no? And the gist of the pasuk, without the literal translation, was there no solution for him, for Yiftach? So Tosfos gives a little more background on this. If you look in the Tosfos, V'hainu dekomer lu novi liYisrael, hatzori ein begilad im roifei ein sham, klomar lahatir nidro liYiftach. Was there no solution for Yiftach and his vow? He made a vow to offer the first one to exit his house upon his return as an Ola, and his daughter came out. Did he not have a way out of that? To be matir the neder, to rescind the vow? The ha have a Pinchas. There was Pinchas HaKoyen, the grandson of Aaron, was over there. The Amaylo Holach Yiftach Etzlo Lahatir Nidro. Why didn't Yiftach solve the problem? After all, he's, again, on a literal basis, he's confronted with the problem of having to offer his daughter as a sacrifice to Hashem. So couldn't he have gotten out of that by going to Pinchas, who was a great scholar, and have him rescind the vow? Elo mitoch gasus ruchoi, because of an element of haughtiness, Omar lo eleich etzloi, I'm not going to go to him, meaning Yiftach is saying, I'm not going to go to him, to Pinchas. Shani shofet v'nogid, I'm a judge, I'm a leader of the people. So as far as protocol is concerned, elo yovo etzli, he should come to me. O Pinchas Omar, and Pinchas on the other hand said, Leisi gaboy, let him, Yiftach, come to me. Dani novi, v'al yodi tehe ptura. I am a prophet, and through me, so he will be exempt from that terrible vow. I would be able to instruct and create a formula, if you will, to rescind the vow. And in the end, both were punished, Pinchas and Yiftach. Yiftach, that's Shenoflu Evorov Kodem. He saw with regard to Yiftach, before he died, he suffered a terrible ailment where his limbs fell off. Kidechtiv Vayikover Beore Gilad. It seems that he was buried in multiple places. Ore is the cities in a plural sense. He was buried in different places, meaning different parts of his body before he actually expired were buried in different places. Pinchas Nenash Dichtiv Lifnim Hoya Hashem Imo. There's the pasuk by Pinchas, it says, and Hashem used to be with him. Apparently, because of this, Hashem departed. The Gemara points out elsewhere, why is the Torah compared to water? The pasuk says, "Hoy kotzomei luchulamayim," and it's because Torah, the nature of Torah, is that it flows from a higher level to a lower level. It seeks out the lowly, the humble, and haughtiness doesn't go hand in hand with with the divine presence and scholarship. Torah scholarship, of course. So we continue in the Gemara. Uksiv, there's another pasuk that has relevance to this story with Yiftach. The pasuk says in Yirmiyo, Perek Yutes pasuk Hey, Asher lo tzivisi velo dibarti velo olsa alibi. The Almighty is saying that there are things that people did that I had no intention for them to do. Asher lo tzivisi, I never commanded. Zeb benoi shel Mesha melech. Mesha was the name of a king of Moab. Moab was in battle, and the king wanted to have arouse divine intervention on his own behalf. So he took his firstborn son and slaughtered him as a sacrifice to the Almighty. Shenema vayikach es beno habachor, Mei Shamelch Moav took his firstborn son, Asher Yimloch Tachtov, that would have been his successor in the monarchy, Vayale Ola, and he offered him as an Ola sacrifice to Hashem. Well, Hashem never expected a person to offer a human sacrifice. That's anathema to Judaism. Velo Dibarti, the Almighty says, and I never spoke. Zu Bito Shel Yiftach. I never asked of anybody to offer their daughter as a sacrifice to me. V'lo Ol Salibi, and it never even occurred to me, says the Almighty. Say Yitzchok ben Avram, when the Almighty instructed Avram to offer his son as a sacrifice, he, the Almighty, never intended for Avram to actually slaughter his son as a sacrifice, which in that case it never came to be, in fact. But it wasn't something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever even intended. Why that whole episode took place? So there, Rashi shares, gives the background, and it's brought in Meforshim as well as in the Gemara and other places. Omar Rebbe Barachya. Now here is the tie-in to our sugya. our discussion concerning rain, as you will see shortly. Af kinesi Yisrael shel shoala sheloi kohagen, v'Kadosh Baruch Hu heshiva kohagen. Even with the Am Yisrael, you have this situation where they put a request in for something that was less desirable, and the Almighty granted their request in a more desirable fashion. Shneamar, the pasuk says, v'neida nirdufo ladas es Hashem. Keshachar nochoin moitzaoi v'yavoi kegeshem lonu. Without getting into literal translations, but there is a request on the part of the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, to have a bond with the Almighty, and that He should be unto us as rain. Rain being perceived as something beneficial, so we should have a bond with the Almighty that is one of great benefit. And how is the benefit described? As rain. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses the nation of Israel in their request. Biti, my daughter, at she'elis davar shepamim mizbakesh upamim einoi mizbakesh. You are asking of me to be to have a relationship with you like rain, something that is pamim mizbakesh, sometimes desired, but sometimes it's not desired. For example, rain in the summer when all the crops, the grains are set out in the fields to dry in anticipation of their being made into flour. And rain, therefore, in the summertime ruins the grain that's set out to dry. So rain at that time is a simin klol, is not a good thing. So why would you want my relationship to be with you to be like rain? I will rather be something that is always desirable, even in the summertime. Shenemar eye katal liYisrael. Tal is better. Do is something that is always desirable. The oid shalo shaloi kahigen. And another example of a request that was shaloi kahigen, Omra lefonov. The nation of Israel says to the Almighty Ribbono Shelom, Simeni kachoisem al libecha, kachoisem al zroecha. place me like a seal upon your heart and a seal upon your zroah. Your zroah is your arm. In other words, I should be attached to you. I should be bonded with you, like a choysim, like a seal that's tied to one's arm. Zroacha. Omar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Biti, my daughter, Asher Elis Dovar Shepa'omim Nira Pa'omim Eino Nira. You're asking to be something that is at times visible, but at times not visible. The arm of an individual is, well, when one is not wearing, let us say, his coat, some type of outer garment, so the arm is visible. However, when one is wearing an outer garment, so the arm is not visible. It's covered. Avol ani eseloch dover shenir le'olam. I will place you upon me something that is always visible, so that I will always have you in mind. I will always see you. Shinemar hein al kapayim chakosich. I have etched you out on my hands. Kapayim is a hand. A hand is always exposed, so that I will always be able to see you. I will be bonded with you in a constantly visible fashion. We quote from the Mishnah, Ein Shalem Es Hakshomim Elo Somach Ligishomim. This was a line in the middle of the Mishnah. Savruha, the Gemara works with a havamina, with an initial thought, She'elo v'haskora chado milsahi, that She'elo and haskora, which is something we've spoken about in the past, and here the Gemara is going over that same havamina that we've had in the past, that the term She'elo, the request, and haskora, the mention, are one and the same. That's the havamina. So if you're going to work with that havamina, that they're one and the same, so the idea of she'elah is the request for rain. The same talu motor livrocho, we say we add into the Shmona Esrei in the Birchas Hashanim. So there's this assumption right now that they are one and the same. Now before we go further, we should note there is a topic heading and structural note. You'll see in the Gemara an aleph and beis that represents two lishonos, shnei lishonos, but birur in trying to clarify man tana leha dekatani, who is the author of this line of the Mishnah that says ein shilim esekshomim elo somach ligishomim, that the request for rain is made only near the time, close to the time of actual rainfall. And we've mentioned this numerous times already since the beginning of the Masechta, but some might be first-time listeners, so we have to mention that the focal point is the land of Israel and its need for rain in the land of Israel, as opposed to many other places of the world. The rainy season is well defined. It's the time of year that extends from, from Tishrei Cheshvan till Pesach time, about almost half a year. And that's referred to often as the Emois HaKshomim, loosely translated the winter season, as opposed to the summer season. There isn't so much emphasis on what we call four seasons, even though there are sources for those things. But we generally speak about the winter season, Emois HaKshomim, versus the Emois HaChama, the summer season, or the sunny season. So our Mishnah says that Ein Shalom Es HaKshomim El Somach HaKshomim Man Tana. Who says that we're Mazgir Gishomim Somach HaKshomim and not earlier than that? Somuch means near the time, close to the time of the Geshamim. And again, we said that Geshamim is something, rain is something that you would expect in the land of Israel in the early part of the month of Cheshvan. So who is it that pushes the Mazkirin, Gevuris Geshamim, to a time close to the actual rainfall? Omar Rava, Rebbe Yoshua Hi, this line would be characteristic or authored by Rabbi Yeshua, the Omar Mishas Hanachosai. We saw in the Brisa in the previous Dapim that the time for saying Mashiv Aruch Moed HaGeshem was from the time that, as we said, we saw this in the Brisa on Daf Beis Amid Beis, from the time that people put their lulav down. In other words, they finish with the lulav. So that what comes out is that you're going to be being maskir gishamim, samach l'gishamim, the end of Sukkot, the eighth day of Sukkot, which is close to the time of actual rainfall, meaning from the end of Sukkot, we already anticipate rain. Rashi points this out at the bottom line, where we've dashed underlined, Dahainu Yoim Shmini, Vizel Samach L'Gisham, Demina Chag Ve'elechuz Man Gisham. From after Sukkot already, we call that the time of rain. So this line, Ein Shalom Sekshamim, Elo Samach L'Gishamim, would seem to be like Rabbi Yoshua. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye responds to Rava, and he says, "Afilu Tema Rabbi Eliezer." The line of the Mishnah, "Ein Shem Sekshem El Somel Shemim," can be like Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Eliezer spoke about the time for being Mazgir Gishamim as being at the time that you start the mitzvah of lulav, the taking of lulav, the first day of Sukkot. So, how can you describe this line of rain request, Samach L'Gishamim, as being in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, when according to Rabbi Eliezer, you were Mazkir Gishamim, you started saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, the line that praises the Almighty as the provider of rain, much earlier, a week earlier than the Zman of Gishamim. So there's no problem, though. You can have this line be like Rabbi Eliezer, because She'ela L'chud V'Hazkara L'chud. Requesting of rain is one thing. Mentioning, praising the Almighty, Hazkara, mentioning, recounting that the Almighty is the provider of rain is another matter. So that as far as praising the Almighty for He is the one that provides rain, that we start earlier. As far as the request for rain, please give us the rain, that takes place later. Somoch l'gshamim. So Rabbi Eliezer can, in fact, this line of the Mishnah then isn't limited to one opinion. V'iko di'amri, another approach. Lema Rabbi Yoshua hi di'amar mishas hanachoso. Should we say that our Mishnah, this line of the Mishnah, of Ein Shalom Sekshamim El Somoch l'gshamim, is according to Rabbi Yoshua, who says that you are to add the insert of Mashiv HaRuach Mori Geshem when you put down the lulav, the end of Sukkot? Omar Rava. Rava says no. Afilu Tema Rabbi Eliezer. You can say that this line of the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Eliezer. She'ela L'chud V'Hazkora L'chud. The request for rain is one matter that we delay till Somoch L'Gishamim. Hazkora, where Rabbi Eliezer spoke about that you're maskir v'us gishamim at the time that you start the mitzvah of lulav, that's another matter. That's not a request for rain. That is a praise of the Almighty as the one who provides rain. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We see a diamond feature, and the diamond highlights Rabbi Yehuda. Stira l'cha'ora bedvarov. There appears to be a contradiction. It appears. We emphasize it only appears, but in fact it won't be. There appears a contradiction. Ad mosai oimrim gishamim b'soif yemois hakshamim. Until when do we make reference to rain at the end, toward the end of the rainy season? So we're focusing on the end times. So the Gemara will present the contradiction, and as the Gemara continues, you'll notice a triangle shape. These represent nisyonos liyashev hanal. These will be attempts to resolve that seeming contradiction. So let's see the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Ha'over Lifnei Hateva. Rabbi Yehuda said that the one who leads the prayers, the shliach tzibur, the chazan, Biyom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach, when it comes to the first day of Pesach, Harishon Mazkir, Ho'achron Enu Mazkir, the Shachris prayer will have Mashiva Ruach mentioned, but when you get to the Musaf already, the one who leads the Musaf will not mention Mashiva Ruach Morid HaGeshem anymore. V'ra minhu. And we raise a contradiction. Ad Mosai Shoyalim Es Hakshomim. Until when do we request rain? Rabbi Meir Oimer Ad Shietze Nisan. Rabbi Meir says until the passage of the month of Nisan. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Ad Shiyavor HaPesach. Rabbi Yehuda says until Pesach passes. So that you have here rain continuously mentioned until the end of Pesach. Whereas the quote just before the first diamond has Rabbi Yehuda saying rain is mentioned up till the beginning of Pesach, just the shachris of the first day of Pesach. Omar Rav Chista loy kashya. Rav Chista says there's no contradiction. Kan lishoyul, kan lahazkir. One source deals with the request of rain, and the other source deals with the praise, the mentioning of rain. Lishol is v'sein talu motor livrocha, and lahazkir is mashiv haruach u'morid hageshem. Mishal shoil v'oziel. As far as the request for rain, that will be until ad shiya'avor ha-pesach, until Pesach passes. So that you'll be asking for rain throughout Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed are the intermediate days of the holiday where you have a weekday type Shmona Esrei wherein you can add the line V'sein Talu Motar. It fits into what we call Birchas Hashanim. Lehazkir, as far as Mashiv HaRuch HaMoed HaGeshem, B'Yom Tov HaRishon Posik, by the first day of Pesach, that will end. So that you have, according to Rav Chista, the actual request for rain continues through Pesach. The praise of Hashem as the rain provider ends early. It ends at the first day of Pesach. Omar Ula. Ula responds to what Rav Chista just said and says, Hod Rav Chista, this teaching of Rav Chista, Kashya, is painful, is difficult, like vinegar in one's teeth and smoke in one's eyes. A posuk used to describe something unpleasant. And what's unpleasant about Rav Chista's analysis? Oma b'mokoyim she'enoy shoyel mazkir, mind you, in situations where you're not asking, and yet this is, of course, according to Rav Chista, where you're not. Mokum Sheino Shoel, for example, the Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, that's the end of Sukkis, is a time when you're not Shoel. The end of Sukkis on Shmini Atzeres, it's a holiday prayer, so there's no room for adding the same Talu Motar. So it's a case of Eino Mokum She'eino Shoel, and yet on the last day of Sukkis, Mazkir, you do make reference to Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGeshem. B'mokoyim she'shoyel, where you do ask for rain, like Chol HaMoed Pesach, as we said, Chol HaMoed Pesach, according to what Rav Chista explained, Eino din she'eh mazkir, all the more so you should be mazkir. What's the point here? The mazkir phenomenon is much more common than the shoyel phenomenon. So that if in a place, in a situation where you're not requesting, but you are mazkir, where you are requesting the rain, certainly you should be mazkir. And that specifically would be Chol HaMoed Pesach, according to Rav Chista. According to Rav Chista, you're being shoyel throughout the Chol HaMoed Pesach, you certainly should be mazkir. And yet Rav Chista himself said no. He says you're going to stop being mazkir at the beginning of Pesach, and you're going to continue being shoyel throughout Pesach. That's not logical. Elo Omar Ula. Trei Tanoi Alibo de Rebbe Yehuda. Ula says there are two later Tanaic versions as to what Rabbi Yehuda holds, and that is what was reflected above in the diamonds. And now we look at Rashi, and we should point out ahead of time that Ula's answer will figure to be prominent in the Gemara as the sugya unfolds. You'll see a marking, a double underline marking, a couple of times later in the Gemara, which reads Ela Machvarta Kutu'ula after other people, other Rabbonim, give their resolutions for the Stira. Those additional resolutions will be rejected, and we're going to be coming back to this Ula. So this Ula response is prominent in the Sukya. We look at Rashi, Trei Tanoi, Chad Omar, Ad Shiyavor HaPesach, Shoyalim, Kol Shekein Shemazkirin. One opinion of within the Tana Rebbe Yehuda holds, this, namely the later Tanaic opinion of what Rebbe Yehuda had said, will tell you that you're going to be asking for the rain throughout Pesach, and certainly you're going to be mazgir. V'chad Omar, the other says, She'elo ad ha-Pesach. The request for rain will last up till Pesach, v'azkora, shich lazgir b'yom tov, mazgir b'yom tov ha-rishon shel Pesach. B'tfilas yotzev u'musaf u'posek, with regard to Mashiv Ruach Merigoshim, which lends itself to a holiday prayer, even though we stopped saying the Saint Halumotu request, which is inserted into a weekday type prayer, and that will continue only up till Pesach, Mashiv Ruach will continue another couple prayers into the holiday of Pesach itself, so that whereas you will have stopped saying the same Talumotar on at Mincha, let us say, of the 14th of Nisan. We're going to be getting into a little more detail later in the Gemara, but just for illustration purposes, you will have stopped by Mincha of Erev Pesach, the Shoyalin, the request for rain. You will continue the Mazkirin, the Mashiv Ruach Merid Hashem, Mayriv. That's Arvis of Pesach itself, of 15th of Nisan, and Shachris of the 15th of Nisan. So you have these two opinions as to what Rebbe Yehuda actually holds. There is no contradiction. It's just two, there's a machlokes, there are two opinions as to what he holds, but it's not a contradiction within Rebbe Yehuda. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Yosef Omar, so now we see a triangle, another attempt to resolve the two Rebbe Yehuda comments above, my ad sheyavor ha-Pesach. The comment made by Rebbe Yehuda above was that you're going to be shoyel in esek shomim ad sheyavor ha-Pesach. What does that mean? Ad sheyavor shliach tzibor rishon hayoreid biyom tov rishon shel Pesach. That means the request for rain will be up till the same time, means up till the Shachris of Pesach. So that this time, up till the Shachris of Pesach day, you'll be Shoyel Geshomim, that will conform to the other quote, the earlier quote of Rebbe Yehuda, that the Mazkirin Geshomim takes place till the Shachris of the first day of Pesach. So they're one in the same. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye asks Rav Yosef, how can you say that there is She'ela, that Ad Shiyavor Pesach, which was the expression found by Shoyalim, Esek Shomim, how can you say that that takes place up till the Shachris of the first day of Pesach? She'ela B'yom Tov Miko. There is no She'ela, which is the line that's inserted into the Birchas Hashanah, the Saint Talumotar, that doesn't figure in a holiday prayer. In the holiday text, as opposed to a weekday text, you don't have an opportunity to insert the same Tal Umotar. Omar Le, Rav Yosef responds, in Shoyel Miturgamon. The Miturgamon, he is the individual that would, during a drosha, during a lecture that was given on the holiday, he would say the lecture to the public. So in the course of the lecture, he would say a brocha of the same Tal Umotar. The Gemara asks, V'chi miturgim and shoyel dover sheino tzorch letzibor? Since this is the end of the rain season, would it be proper for the miturgim to request something that is not needed? It's not, rain isn't needed anymore at that point in time. So why would the Meturgamon put a request in for something that's not needed anymore? Elo machvarta kideula. Rather, machvarta means it's more likely, it's cleaner, it's more logical, like Ula's response. And he had said, the tray, Tanoi Elibrubi, that was his resolution of the two diamonds above, the two seeming contradictions in Reb Yehuda. Rabo, Omar, another triangle, another attempt to resolve the Reb Yehuda comments above. Rabo, Omar, my achi avor ha-pesach, when speaking about Sheolim Esek Shomim. So what does that phrase mean, Ad Shiavor HaPesach? Ad Shiavor Zman Shchitas HaPesach Uketchiloso Kein Soifoi. That means that we'll be asking for rain, we'll be saying V'sein Talamotar on the 14th of Nisan. Yavor HaPesach means Shchitas HaPesach. Shchitas HaPesach is the slaughter of the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach, the Pesach sacrifice, was done on the 14th of Nisan. That's the day before Pesach, Erev Pesach, where we're still saying a weekday Shemona Esrei. So you'll be saying the same Talamotar up till the end of the Shchitas HaPesach time. That's Ad Shiavor Zman Shchitas HaPesach. Now, Rashi points out, Ad Shiavor Zman Shchitas HaPesach, Ad Shiavor Chatzois Yoim Darboasar. Until midday, until you cross the midday line, that's what Rashi is doing here is helping to be precise in explaining the Gemara, because if you didn't have Rashi, you would say until the time for the Shechita of Pesach finishes, but that's not the pshat in the Gemara. Ad Shiavor means until you cross the line of the beginning of the time of Pesach slaughtering. What's the beginning time of the Pesach slaughtering? Noon or midday. Chatzos Hayom. So, practically speaking, what is Rabbo saying? That Ad Shiavor Pesach means that you'll be saying the same Talamotar during Shachris. Shachris lasts, roughly speaking, until Chatzos Hayom. So, Dahainu, Rashi says, Dahainu calls man Tfilas Yotzer. Tfilas Yotzer means Shachris. Vashmina Rabbi Yehuda, the Bemincha Darvei Psochim, what Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, would be telling us, according to Rabbo, is that on Mincha of Erev Pesach, Hafagav de Matzlinu Tfilas Chol, even though we are saying a weekday Shmona Esrei, which would lend itself to the addition of the Saint Talamotar, you're not going to say it Mafsikinon, Velo Yoima, the Saint Talamotar. The Hafagav de Matkarinon ad Lemochor the Musafim, even though Matkarinon means even though we're going to be saying Mashiva Ruach Umorin Ageshem till the next day, the request for rain will have stopped. It will have stopped the day before, on the 14th of Nisan, after Shachris, no more V'sein Talamotar, no more Shoyalim. As far as Mazkirin, okay, that continues through the next couple Tfilos, the next couple Shemon Esreis, until Musaf of the next day, of Pesach day proper. And this has a precedent. This phenomenon of having a situation where you're going to be mazkir without being shoel is explained. It has a precedent. Tchiloso kein sofo. The end is like the beginning. Ma tchiloso, the beginning of the rainy season. What do we see? Mazkir afal pi she'eino shoel. We start being mazkir on Sukkis. When do we start the she'ela? Later, in the beginning of Cheshvan. So we have at the beginning Mazkir without She'ela. Afsoifoi Mazkir Afapi She'ena Shoel. So to at the end of the rainy season, what we just described, you're going to continue being Mazkir even though you stopped being Shoel. So just like at the beginning Mazkir exists by itself, so to at the end you'll have Mazkir, you'll have Mashiv Ruach Meregeshem by itself, namely without the same Talamotar. Amale Abaye. Abaye questions the logic behind this observation. I understand that the beginning of the rainy season, Mazgir, there's a point in praising the Almighty as the provider of rain, even before you requested the actual rain. The Hazkara Nami Ritzu Sheilahi. The Mazkir, that phrase, Mashiva Ruach HaMorin HaGeshem, is a method of appeasing, Ritzui, of beseeching and appeasing, supplicating the one who will provide your request for rain. So you praise the one who is going to give you your request before you actually put in the request. Ela Saifai. But at the end, when you're not requesting the rain anymore, my Ritzui She'elo Iko, what's the point of being Meratzeh, of this praise, Mashiv Aruch Mera Geshem, if it's not Ritzui She'elo? It's not leading up to a rain request. That stopped earlier. That stopped already the 14th of Nisan in the morning. After Shacharis, you're not saying the Saint Halamotar anymore. Why continue being saying Mashiv Aruch Mera Geshem? Elo machvarto kideula. Rather, we go back to Ula's resolution of the two diamond Rebbe Huda statements above. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a slash mark that even though the Gemara is going to be referring to the Tana Rebbe Huda, this is an entirely new train of thought. Hence, we put the slash mark in, and on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, the topic heading reads, Eich Posek Reb Yochanan b'mosai mazkirin v'shoyalim. How does Reb Yochanan rule regarding these matters of mazkirin and shoyalim? Omar Rav Asi, we continue in the Gemara, Rav Asi, halocha k'Rebbe Yehuda. Rashi defines, so we saw Reb Yehuda comment, making different comments above, so Rashi focuses and tells us that Reb Yochanan is passing like Reb Yehuda said, ha'over lefnei ha'teva, when it comes to the starting of Mazkir Gvuras Geshamim, the first one on the last day of Pesach will not be Mazkir, but the second one, the one who leads the Musaf on the last day of Pesach, will be Mazkir, will say Mashiv Ruach HaMorin HaGeshem. Omer Leh Rabbi Zeira LeRav Asi, Umi Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, would Rabbi Yochanan have said thusly that your Mazkir on the last day of Sukkis, V'hotnan, B'shloisha B'mar Cheshvan, Shonsek Shomim, Rav Gamliel Omer, B'shivabo. Where we request rain on the 3rd of Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan is known commonly as Cheshvan. That's the Tana Kama, and Rabbi Gamliel says on the 7th day of Cheshvan, the Omer Rabbi Lozer, Halocha K'Rabbi Gamliel, and here you have a ruling like Rabban Gamliel, which would then have rain mentioned the 7th of Cheshvan. So how can you say that the Halocha is like Rabbi Yehuda when here, which has rain being mentioned on the last day of Sukkis, which is essentially the 22nd of Tishrei, when here the ruling is to go like Rav Gamliel, which has rain mentioned on the 7th of Cheshvan. Omar Leh. So Rav Asi says back to Rabbi Zera, and we have a number one, there are two answers here. Number one, Gavra Agavra Koramis. You're asking on the psak of Rabbi Yochanan from that which Rabbi Lozer ruled. They're two different people. Rabbi Yochanan says that the rain mention is from the end of Sukkis, and Rabbi Lozer holds that the rain mentioning is from the 7th of Cheshvan. They're two different people. There's no question here. And another approach is Lokashia. Kan Lishol, Kan Lahaskir. They're two different topics. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan can agree with Rebbe Lozer. They can be one and the same. The Zion Mar Cheshvan, that has to do with Shoyel, asking for rain, for saying Talu Motar. As far as the Psak of like going like Rebbe Yehuda, which is Yom Tov Achron, that has to do with Mashiv HaRuach HaMorin HaGeshem. They're two different entities altogether. What's very interesting, since the beginning of this Masechta, here we're already holding by Daf Dalid, The Gemara repeatedly points out that there is a difference between Lishol and Lahaskir. One begins to wonder about like why was it, what caused this to be murky, if you will, so unclear that it's so necessary each time to give the same answer that there's a difference between Lishon Lahazkir. But that's a point for pondering what was not, why this line, why this distinction wasn't clear along the way. We continue in the Gemara. However, we have a new marking on the side, the Mivneh. This is a Ma'akav. This is the volcano shape, which has a narrow top. It lends itself to being flipped over, giving you the feeling of a give-and-take structure. So with the narrow part of the volcano, or trapezoid, facing upwards, Kushos, they represent questions. The inverted one, Tshuvos, responses. The Gemara asks, V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, B'mokim Shishoyel Mazkir. In the response number two that we just saw, that there's a difference between Lishol and Lahazkir, but Rabbi Yochanan himself, and maybe we should just emphasize that in answer number two, we were paralleling Rabbi Yochanan with Rebbe Lozer, that they agree with one another, and they're simply talking about two different things. But here the Gemara is asking, how can you say they agree with one another when Rabbi Yochanan says, B'mokim Shishoyel Mazkir, when you are Shoyel, when you're asking for rain, you're maskir the rain. And Rashi adds that you infer, and when you're not asking for rain, you're not going to be maskir either. So, how can it be said that, how can then Rabbi Yochanan say, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're maskir on the last day of Sukkot, which is not a time that you're going to be asking for the rain? Just to go over that last point, Rabbi Yochanan here is reported as saying that where you're shoyel, you're maskir, and then you would infer where you're not shoyel, you're not maskir. But we know that Rabbi Yochanan ruled like Rabbi Yehuda, that says that where you are maskir, for example, the end of Sukkot, you're not shoyel. In fact, the end of Sukkot is a holiday. It doesn't even lend itself to having Birchas Hashanim in a holiday prayer. The Gemara responds that this comment of Rabbi Yochanan B'mokim Shishol Maskir is not referring to the beginning time period at all. Hahu lahafsoka itmar. That's regarding the end of the rainy season, and the sukkah here is preoccupied with the beginning of the rainy season. So at the end of the rainy season, we say that when he stops being shoyel, that's on Erev Pesach, he stops being mazkir. And that's what was meant, that where you're shoyel, where you're asking for rain, so you're mazkir when you stop asking for rain, which is characteristic of Erev Pesach, so that's when you're going to stop being mazkir. The question, the Gemara continues, for Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hischil lahazkir maschil lishoil, posak mi lishoil, poisek mi lahazkir. Now here with our markings, in addition to dash underlining Rabbi Yochanan, because we're focusing on Rabbi Yochanan, we also have a slash dashed underline under hischil, because this is a question based on the last response of the Gemara, that even at the beginning they are paralleled, that where you start being maskir, you start asking. And Rashi adds over here, Yaschil lishol dahainu b'choyl shiyocho lishol. When you start being mazkir, which would put you at the end of Sukkot, so the first opportunity of a weekday Shmon Esrei, you will also start asking for rain. Well, that is not like we answered before. Because we answered before, in the answer number two, that Rabbi Yochanan was saying that the Shoyel would be at Zion Mar Cheshvan. Here you have the Shoyel taking place right after Sukkot, the 23rd of Tishrei. So we see from here that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So how can it be said that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Rashi, by the way, adds, Posak mi lishoil, he says, Be'erev HaPesach, when you stop asking for an Erev Pesach, Posek Milahazkir, he will also stop being Mazkir. And this, Rashi says, Alma lo svir le Rabbi Yehuda. If you're going to stop, when you stop asking for the rain, you're going to stop being Mazkir on Erev Pesach. Well, that's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're going to stop being Mazkir by Musaf of Pesach itself. So, this brings us back to the drawing board. We've got a problem in what does Rabbi Yochanan rule? Elo loy kashya. Ha lon veha lehu. One applies to us in Bavel, and the other date applies to them in Eretz Yisrael. And here Rashi explains, ha lon veha lehu, lebnei Bavel, sheyesh lonu tvua. The Talmud Bavli obviously is a Babylonian Talmud, so that, and that's what we're learning now, so that's in the, we speak in the first person plural, us, we here in Bavel, that have tvua and peres basada kol tishrei, that throughout the entire month of Tishrei till the end of Tishrei we've got grains and fruits out in the fields. Ein mazkirin ad shiva b'mar cheshvan. We're not going to say mashiva ruach umrena geshem until the seventh day of Cheshvan, v'shom shoyalim, and that's when we'll start the request as well. Kedom Rabbi Yochanan, maschil lahazkir, maschil lishoyal, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said, when you start being mazkir, you start requesting, that applies to the B'nai Bovel. Rashi goes on, v'holuhu, l'B'nai Eretz Yisrael, t'koitzrin b'nisan v'oisvin b'tishrei, in, for Bnei Eretz Yisrael that harvest in Nisan and they ingather their grains in Tishrei, so Mazkirin b'yomtov ho'achron k'Rabbi Yehuda, t'yom rav asi aloch k'moso. Then you'll start the mashiv ha'ruach moed geshem, like Rav Asi said, that Rav Asi quoted above Rabbi Yochanan saying the aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda. That is true. You'll start saying Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you'll start saying that at the end of Sukkot. Just to repeat ourselves, but if you're in Bavel, you're not going to start Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem until the 7th of Cheshvan, when you will also start the She'ela. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan's other psak was, Hischil Lahaskir, Lahaskir, Maschil Lishoel. The Gemara asks, "My shnoladi don, what is different about us? The islon peri bedabra, that we said that you're not mazkir until Cheshvan because we've got fruits in the fields and the rain will injure fruits that are out in the fields drying. So you delay the mazkir until Cheshvan. Lididhunami, well, for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael also, there's reason for delaying. Islehu Oile Regolim. These are people that had come to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot. The Oile Regolim, the thrice year pilgrimage, one of those being Sukkot time, they have to get back. They have to get back to where they live, and they don't want to travel in the rain. So for Eretz Yisrael also, there is logic to delay mazkir until Cheshvan. The Gemara answers, Ki kom Rabbi Yochanan, that your maskir yom tov acharon, relatively early, bismach ein beis hamikdash kayam, when there is no beis hamikdash, so there's no more pilgrimage, there's no more aliyas haregel. So there are two different time periods that one would reckon with when it comes to Eretz Yisrael itself. When the beis hamikdash is around, so then the logic will say delay maskir. When there's no beis hamikdash, you can have maskirim early, the end of Sukkot. Hashta da'osis lahachi, now that we've come up with this response, ha v'ha, lididhu, both piske halach above, where Rabbi Yochanan paskins on the one hand like Rabbi Yehuda, and the second psak was halacha k'Rav Gamliel, are both piske halacha, both halachic rulings regarding the people of Israel. V'lo kashya, in other words, this response is an alternative to the response of ha lon v'ha lahu, one for Bavel, one for Eretz Yisrael. Both are Eretz Yisrael. The Lokashi, Kan Bizman Shabbat Midish Kayim, that we the psak that says wait till Cheshvan, that's when the Beis HaMikdash is around, and we have to consider the Oile Regolim not traveling when in the rain. And Kan Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, the Psak of Rav Asi on Rav Yochanan, that your Maskir Yom Tov Acharon, that is when there is no Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, they can maskir the rain already by the end of Sukkot. And now the Gemara has a new discussion. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The house marking, the house shape will appear in the next few lines. Deois be'ech yesh linhoig b'yom tov ha'achron shel chag b'chutz loretz dehu shmini sofek shvi. Accepting for the time being the Psak of Reb Yehuda, but it's paskening like Reb Yehuda, that Mashiv HaRuach Merigishim will start during Musaf of Shmini Atzeres. That's a very clear date when it comes to people living in Eretz Yisrael, where you don't have 2 days of Yom Tov. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Chutz Laretz, like the Gemara says, Anan, we in Chutz Laretz and Bovel, that have 2 days of Yom Tov, and that being based on the idea that when Yom Tov begins, let's say the 15th of Tishrei, you think that that's the beginning, that's the actual 15th. Maybe not. Maybe the month before was extended by a day, and therefore the what you think is the 15th is really the 14th, and the next day is the 15th. And when it comes to the last day of Sukkot, which we call Shmini Atzeres, you think that's, which the date of that, by the way, is Chof Beis Tishrei. Maybe it's not really Chof Beis Tishrei. Maybe it's the seventh day of Sukkot. Maybe it's still Hoshana Rabbah. Maybe it's Chof Aleph, and the next day is really Shmini Atzeres. And hence you have, outside of Israel, 2 days are celebrated. They're called Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, but they're in effect 2 last days of Sukkot. And once again, we're going with Reb Yehuda that says on the last day of Sukkot, which we call Shmini Atzeres, the Musaf Shliach Tzibur will mention Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem. Well, what's the last day of Sukkot for people living outside of Israel? When in Chutz Laretz, 2 days are celebrated. Shmini Atzeres is actually Safek. It's a doubt. Maybe it's still the seventh day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah. So what are we to do then? V'anan di islon trei yoimi. Heishi avdina. We who have 2 days of Shmini Atzeres, how are we to conduct ourselves? Omar Rav. Maschil b'musafin. When you come to Shmini Atzeres, you will start being maskir in Musaf. Upoisek. And then you stop that which you already started. You stop on Shmini Atzeres in the Mincha. Don't mention Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem. Don't mention it in Arvis nor Shacharis either. That would be the night where Simchas Torah is celebrated. The Choyzer b'Musaf, and then on Simchas Torah in Musaf, you restart the Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem. Omer lehu Shmuel. Shmuel, upon hearing Rav's ruling, says, Poku vi omru le la Abba. Abba is Rav's formal name. So go tell him, Abba or Rav, Acha she asisu kodesh tasehu choyl. In focusing on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz, you said, Rav said, Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, you're going to start saying Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem, which is characteristic of a holy day, the holy day of Shmini Atzeres. It's a holiday as opposed to Chol HaMoed, so you're going to do that which is characteristic of Shmini Atzeres. You made it, you're showing us that this is what you think is really a holy day. Then on that same day, when it comes to Mincha, you're going to stop saying Mashiv Ruach, making it sound like it's still the seventh day of Sukkot, a weekday, a Chol HaMoed. So there's something wrong with that. A practice that you do that demonstrates your recognition of it as a holy day, on that very same day, mincha of that very same day, you then lower its status by not saying Mashiv HaRuach at mincha time, treating it as if it's a weekday, meaning you're treating it as if it's still the Chol HaMoed. Elo Omar Shmuel. Shmuel has a different approach. Very slight difference, but it makes all the difference. He says, Maschil b'musafen uva mincha. Now we've dashed on the line mincha because this is the main point to be contrasted with two lines above where it said, Poisek b'mincha. Shmuel says, once you've declared that day a holy day, you're treating it like Shmini Atzeres, the 22nd of Tishrei. So you have to treat it in holiness till the end. And that requires Mashiv HaRuach in Musaf and in Mincha as well. Mincha is part is a prayer that's part of that same day. It's the afternoon prayer of that very day. However, maybe it's not Shmini Atzeres. Maybe it's still the seventh day. So Upoisek Arvis V'Shachris. Arvis, the Ma'ariv davening, already that represents another day. That's the next day. So it's not the same day that we were dealing with. So you stop. At that point, you can stop the Mashiv HaRuach Mor Gashem. You stop at Arvis V'Shachris. V'choyzeru Maschu B'Musaf. And then on Simchas Torah day, the second day of Shmini Atzeres, the sun that's called Simchas Torah, Musaf time, you'll then start up the Mashiv HaRuach again. The way you would treat a formal Shmini Atzeres day. We continue at the top of Heyomet Aleph. We have another approach. Rava Omar, Kevon Shehischil Shuv Eino Posek. Once in Chutzlaretz, on Shmini Atzeres, Mashiv HaRuach was started at Musaf time, you just keep going. You don't stop. V'chein Omar Rav Sheshes, Kevon Shehischil Shuv Eino Posek. Rav Sheshes agrees with that. V'af Rav Hodar Bey, Rav himself had a change of mind. He reversed his position. Originally he said, you start and then stop. No more. He changes his mind. The Omar Rav Hananel Omar Rav. Moine esrim ve'echod yoim. You count 21 days from the beginning of Tishrei, from Rosh Hashanah. You count 21 days inclusive. Kederech shemoine asara. Be careful of the reading here. Kederech shemoine asara. Yomim me Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippur. When we count the 10 days, we call them Aser Shemei Tshuva. You count 10 days inclusive. You count from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, 10 days, including the first and the last day, that gives you 10. So too with what Rav is ruling now, you're going to count 21 days, counting Rosh Hashanah as day 1, 2, 3, etc. And then you get to day 21. When you finish that counting, umaschil, then you start the Mashiv HaRuach Mor Gashem on 22nd of Tishrei. V'kevon shehischil shuv einoy poisek. And once you begin, no more stopping. Now we dashed on shuv einoy poisek because this is the change of mind that we see here on the part of Rav. The Hilchos on the Gemara rules kevon shehischil shuv einoy poisek. In Chutz La'aretz, once you start mentioning Mashiv HaRuach Mor Gashem, that's Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, you don't stop. You continue saying that. Not only Musaf, but Shmincha and Ma'ariv and Shachris as well of Simchas Torah. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially with regard to accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.